Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome, everybody. It's the world famous Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jeff Skin Wade, Jonathan Shippy Shipman, and Kevin KT Turner, the pride and joy of only Texas. We are in studio today, but we will be out of studio on Thursday. We'll be at the Pluckers in Grapevine. We'd love for you to stop by and join us. And then Friday, we'll be at Fat Daddy's, and we're going to be out there with the first G-Bag flags of this Flagtober.
What an honor. Really, really cool. And love getting out to the 817. So by all means, please come on by and get you a G-Bag flag for Flagtober, baby. It's going to be a big month.
All right, we got so much to get into today. It's always a joyous day on 105.3 The Fan when Jerry jumps on, because we've got audio for days to get into. We'll be getting into some Jerry audio throughout the presentation today. We'll be getting into some of that Troy Aikman stuff as well. He has just gone straight savage mode, which is so much fun, so enjoyable. We should probably get things going by referencing last night's footballing action that happened. The Bears pummeled the Redskins. 31-15 was the final, and it wasn't anywhere near that close. Case Keenum was running around for his life all night. Three interceptions, two fumbles. I think he was sacked four times, and that is a train wreck. The report is that Colt McCoy will probably get the next shot to be their starting quarterback, as he'll soon be back from his broken leg. Dwayne Haskins, he's not ready for action yet, I guess. Alex Smith making an appearance, just so there's four quarterbacks in the mix there. He was on the sideline. I don't think he'll be back this year, but four quarterbacks in the mix there in a way, if you include Alex Smith in that. But Mitch Trubisky was the story last night, and at one point I know he was 20 for 23 with three touchdowns all in the second quarter, and I saw a graphic on the screen that was like, for the first 23 drives, the Bears had one touchdown. In their last three drives, they have three touchdowns. So the Redskins are the cure for whatever ails you.
They're the great elixir for sure. Do you think also possibly Trubisky had a good game after all the he looks like Romo chatter from yesterday? I noticed, Shippy, you tweeted out a picture that you tweeted out a year or two ago about Trubisky looking like Romo. Maybe that's what finally put it all together for him, is the discussion, because it became a big national topic when we left the air yesterday.
It did. He looked a lot like Romo.
It really, really blew up in a big way.
So who was it that said Trubisky looks like someone drew a picture of Romo from memory?
That was our buddy.
Ziggy.
It was Stromenton. He's married to Sam Lau.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Ziggy replied, yes. Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Really, really well done. But as you look at the landscape right now, the Eagles are a disaster. I'm talking about the NFC East. The Eagles are a disaster. And you would assume at some point during the year, they'll get it back together. Maybe. They typically pull it out of the tailspin, the nosedive. The Giants, maybe they have a little bit more hope now with Danny Dimes at quarterback. The Redskins are abysmal. The Redskins are among the worst teams in all of football. So how many wins will it take to win the NFC East?
Well, this is where it's going to get super critical. I would maintain, look, we know a lot can happen. Let's just take injuries out of the mix, right? Let's assume that the Eagles over the course of the next 4 weeks get healthier, all right? And let's just kind of move forward with full power injuries, because you never know what the injuries are going to end up doing. You realize how hard it's going to be for the Eagles to win the division if the Cowboys just straight split? If both of these teams take care of the, because right now the combined record of the Skins and the Giants is 1-5. Is that what it is?
I should be 2-2 yeah. 4.
Eagles are 1-2. Giants are 1-2. Redskins are 0-3.
Yeah, Skins and Giants.
Oh, Skins and Giants. Yeah. Yeah. 1-5. Yeah.
1-5. So what I'm saying is that if you take care of business against those teams, and the Cowboys are already 2-0 against them, the Eagles, you know, obviously have more games to play. All you got to do is split with the Eagles, and that means for the Eagles to outright win the division, they got to be three games better than you on all of the remaining games outside of the NFC East. Three games better than you to outright win the division. And then we know what's coming up. Green Bay on the road Thursday night. Four of their next five are on the road, including games at Dallas, at Minnesota. They have put already enormous pressure on themselves to be damn near perfect outside of their division moving forward. And we all have the same tough schedules in the division. This is obviously injuries change these things dramatically, which is why you don't make bold predictions before October gets here. But it's hard to dig out of holes And those two losses are to the Lions and the Falcons. It's not even the Patriots coming up on their schedule, or the Packers coming up on their schedule, or the Vikings coming up on their schedule. Eagles are in a bad way early on.
Well, I'm looking here at the NFC East standings, and as bad as that Redskins defense looked last night, I mean, which allowed the Bears to come out of a coma, they've given up 94 points through three games, right? The Redskins defense.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Well, the Giants have also given up 94 points. They're tied at having given up 94 points. And then everyone's panicking, or a lot of people are panicking, about the Cowboys defense. Unnecessarily so. The Cowboys have only given up 44 points. They've given up less than half the amount of points that the Giants and Redskins have given up. And the Eagles have given up 78 points. And then you look at the offensive side. The Cowboys have scored 97 points. Giants and Redskins tied there too. They've given up they've scored 63 points each.
I think the Cowboys defense can clearly play better, but their offense is going to be what moves them this year. Their offense is going to be what it's about. It's going to be about outscoring their opponents. But I do think that this defense can improve. And obviously your numbers are exaggerated by the fact that you played a Dolphins team that put up 6 points on you. The other thing too is look at what the Giants are about to go through with a rookie quarterback and no Saquon Barkley for the next month or so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Yeah, no, they're going to go through major problems. That's going to be pretty bad with Wayne Gallman backing up. They may just spread it out and throw it and see what the rookie has. But I think the thing you're talking about, the Eagles schedule gets easy at the end.
Right.
While the Cowboys schedule is top heavy right now. It's bottom heavy at the top, I guess, with all these bad teams.
Right.
So, like, it's all going to, you know, even itself out.
The problem is that when you get in big, giant holes, it's very difficult in the NFL to crawl out of those things. Now,
yeah,
if you want to throw it back in my face, say, like the Cowboys did last year when they started 3-5 and then came roaring back sort of like that. So this is, if the Eagles are going to save their season, they have to do it in the next 3 weeks. They're going to have to win two tough games to pull this thing out of the ditch.
Yeah. By the way, speaking about, you were talking about the Cowboys offense leading the way. I agree with you. Everybody knows that the Chiefs are super high powered, right? Even without Tyreek Hill, they haven't, you know, missed a beat. They've scored 101 points. Cowboys are 4 points back of that.
Wow.
4 points. Cowboys have scored 97 points.
We'll get into something at 12:40 that kind of shows you that at least for this year so far, Dak and Mahomes are kind of comparable. And I don't think anyone's saying, hey, take Dak over Mahomes. But there's some numbers that let you go, wow, there's a big jump that's happened. Not just a small step forward. It's been a big jump. And we'll dive into that at 12:40 this afternoon in the Power Hour.
And before that, really getting into those numbers, obviously, just go back to your memory banks of the first three games. The biggest jump is the down the field throws.
And down I'm not the field?
Just down the field. Those numbers will jump out at you, but you can remember it. You can see it. The Cowboys are throwing down the field further and with more accuracy.
Yeah. I mean, good God, everything we'd heard about, Dak in the offseason, the things he was working on with Kitna, the mechanics, we're seeing that we're seeing that manifest in results, and it certainly does feel like when you watch the Cowboys now, you're watching an offense that is on the attack. It doesn't look like, I don't know, like a team that's trying to get you into a wrestling match to let's battle this thing out and hope, you know, the winner prevails by 1 to 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Can we, would you guys take a minute with me to, if you would, put your shower shoes on and let's bask in the misery of Washington?
Yes.
Because there's some great stuff happening.
Why are we wearing shower shoes?
First of all, they're having little panic attacks last night. There's a writer for The Athletic in Washington who was talking about, he's kind of answering questions from fans after the loss. And there one said, do you ever want to go cover another team? Because it feels like you're writing the same stories every year. And he goes, yes. There are times in my head I've got these stories I'd like to write, but I feel like I'm writing the same story every single year. And he commented on some of the club level being less than half full and like attendance way down in D.C. last night for that game. And I think it's interesting the way they were talking about Dwayne Haskins in the broadcast. I liked Haskins. I actually liked Haskins more than Jones, but my concern with Haskins was there's just 1 year to go off of off with him. Daniel Jones, you had multiple years that you could watch. So Daniel Jones, to me, was a little safer than Haskins. and he went 10 picks before Haskins did. And the Monday night guys, who, you know, I don't love them or anything, but they were talking about, I guess, talking to Redskins people, and they were like, well, Haskins isn't ready. He's, you know, he's just still learning to be a pro. He's not ready to, you know, take the game plan throughout the week and then go implement it. And then there they are talking. Then halftime, they're doing their dumb halftime show. And Lewis Riddick is like, you got to make a change. Look at all the fans. This is horrible. You got to make a change. And Steve Young's like, no, no, no. You can't make a change. And that's what they're sitting there going, we would love to not play Case Keenum. We would love to not do it and put our rookie quarterback in. But we think it would destroy him if we went out there. And then we're starting over again. And I just started going, my God, they're another 0-3 team who should probably consider
just kind of
tearing it on down. Let's go get a quarterback.
And I think people get so confused with the quarterback discussion, and they hang the wins and losses all on quarterbacks. And I think it works the same way with rookie quarterbacks. Dak was in a fantastic situation to have success, and he made the most of that. But if you had thrown Dak Prescott into a team where he's getting sacked multiple times per game, running for his life, and you know these guys don't know how to read a defense yet, it probably would have been horrible results. And for any quarterback to be back there, I think it's wise not to throw a guy out there like that. Now, if you've got a team where, okay, you've got a good offensive line and you can kind of bring him along, maybe he won't be shell-shocked to the point where he can't return. And hell, we're talking about Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman maybe benefited from being thrown to the Wolves early. He almost got killed.
I think it ended his career sooner.
Right? But it's like, I would much rather just, if my team sucks so incredibly bad that I can't protect the quarterback, I'd much rather have him on the sideline holding a clipboard than throw him to the Wolves early.
Yeah, and I think conversely, there's really, look at the Mahomes situation was ideal. You had a consummate pro and Alex Smith teaching him. And then when Mahomes took the reins after 1 year and watching and learning, he took the reins of a potent offense with a great offensive coach, putting him in position to win. And then he completely exceeded all of those expectations by putting up record type numbers. But he was in a very fortuitous situation. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers.
It's really just that it's the history of sports, though. Situations always matter.
Yep.
You can move guys around. We were just talking about it in the mix with Sean and RJ. If you put Marino somewhere, you know, the story of sports would be different. The story of our lives would be different with any, you know, one decision that we might have made along the way. So it's that type of thing.
Shippy calls it the butterfly effect.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, he's been saying that?
He actually calls it the butt effect.
The butterfly effect.
Like Josh Rosen's my classic situational example. Go to Arizona? Well, he went to a bad situation. He happened to get traded to a bad situation. Are we ever going to know what the poor guy is? He's probably just going to be the guy that was hanging out in the hot tub his freshman year at UCLA.
Not a bad guy.
That's probably his legacy now because he's played for broken teams his entire life. Like, that's what we will remember him as. There's no saving that ship, probably, because he's gone to a dumpster every time.
He's been tarnished. It's a Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. David Hellman's been tarnished. We'll explore that at 11 o'clock. But before we get all into that stuff, Jerry Jones called in to Sean and RJ this morning. He delivered the gold, including the story of this very weird dance. We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan. All right, thank you, Shippy. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. It was a very eventful weekend of college football. We need to dip our toes in those waters coming up here in 20 minutes. We have a special guest in studio at noon, the great Teddy Emmerich, who will have a big-time honor when he gets to call the Cowboys-Saints game Sunday night right here on 105.3 The Fan. Very, very few times since Brad Sham took over has he not been calling the game. We'll get into all of that and what it means to Teddy. But let's get into the Jerry Jones audio from earlier today. He joined Sean and RJ at 8:30, and it was very good, as it always is. And a lot of times, there ends up being some good funny. So we've talked a lot about Robert Quinn and his first game and how good he looked. And when he got that sack, he had the Happy Gilmore dance, is what they called it on the broadcast. Now, I don't know that that's...
Yes.
I don't know that that's what Robert Quinn was thinking necessarily.
Ride the bull.
He was doing sort of an homage to Cowboys, I guess.
I think he was doing the Happy Gilmore, though.
Well, let's hear what Jerry thought of the Robert Quinn debut and the dance. This is number three here, Shippy.
Well, that's one of the best I've seen riding that pony. Now, you know what's fun? Sometimes Zeke will do something like that. He'll put a towel on, or he'll put some shorts on or something and head down through the middle of the dressing room kind of spanking himself as he emulates a, the riding the horse, but and that's before a game, so you can see how what a asset he is on and off the field to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm talking Zeke Prescott, but I mean Zeke Elliott. But bottom line is Robert Quinn brings that to the table as well. He's a veteran. On the other hand, he plays with the exuberance of a rookie. And his game is sheer energy. And if he's got an issue at all, it's kind of thwarting his tendency to run by the quarterback a little bit. But, boy, he's back there, and he's messing with them. And he's just an outstanding contributor.
All right, there's so much to get into from just that one answer. First of all, on Robert Quinn, yes, he does play with so much energy and burst and quickness and speed.
And tobacco.
It is, yeah, God, he puts an entire can of Copenhagen in his lip. But
Prescott.
But he is a diehard, true speed rusher, and it is fun to watch, man. And it's awesome to have that on the opposite side of D-Law. In terms of the Zeke doing that in the locker room. Now, you're talking about the ride a horse dance, which didn't Cy from Condom Style did that?
Sir.
Open
Condom Style.
Open Condom Style.
It's directly related to Happy Gilmore having fun again, though. That's what happened in the movie.
I think it's been around long before that, but maybe if that's the first time you saw it, then you can go back to that memory of it, which I don't disparage. That was a great moment, too. That's my movie.
They're having fun, though.
But, I think the idea of Zeke, he's talking about Zeke doing it in the locker room, and he says sometimes he'll put a towel on.
I guarantee you Zeke's in there doing that neck.
Banking himself.
Here's the other thing. So the first thing that Jerry thinks of when he thinks of Robert Quinn is, let's talk about how fun Zeke is. All right, that's the first place he goes to. The second thing that I'm dying to get to the bottom of this. So when we met Robert Quinn and had him on the show during training camp, I walked away from that interview going, man, if there is one person on this earth that has not watched Happy Gilmore, it's that guy. That is the single last human I've ever met. He's the most serious person I've ever met. And there's just no way he has time for a third-rate Adam Sandler movie.
He was a big Carl Weathers fan.
I don't know, man. Maybe he was.
Third-rate.
I just don't
backtrack.
I don't think there's any chance in hell.
I thought you loved golf.
Yeah, any chance in hell that dance had anything to do with Happy Gilmore.
You're talking stupid, no. Third-rate? Of an Adam Sandler movie? First-rate Adam Sandler
you're
movie.
Right, you're
that's
right.
That's a fine film.
It's incredible.
Great movie.
The storyline is so Happy he's been told by the PGA Tour to calm it down.
No, the story is his grandma has an orphanage.
Oh, hold on. He's got to start having fun again.
Oh, okay.
Meanwhile, his golf teacher, Carl Weathers, Chubbs Peterson, is at home watching on TV while Happy hits a driver and gets on his driver and goes, right. Oh, yes, yes. And Chubbs Peterson is gluing his hand back together because it got ran over.
Uh-huh.
He goes, oh, Happy, riding the bull? You're acting like a damn fool. It's
okay,
so
now Ben,
good.
Now, Ben, remember the Robert Quinn exchange.
Yeah.
Think about everything he just said
right.
And then think about Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn would punch his TV before he'd finish watching that great movie. I love that movie.
But I'm ask him that
You
now.
Seriously don't think it has anything to do with that, do you?
I think it absolutely does.
Oh, my God. I'd
I'm
be willing
dying
to bet.
To
I, thought you were,
to
I thought you were kidding.
No.
I'll give you the answer right now. It has nothing to do with it.
That's
I guarantee you, Robert Quinn cannot tell you anything about Happy Gilmore.
I'll tell you this.
Like this show bet.
If Robert Quinn can tell me something about Happy Gilmore, he's immediately the most interesting NFL player I've ever met.
Now,
Carry himself that way, play that way,
right.
And then dabble in some Adam Sandler stuff
now,
from the early 90s.
He may know that it's a movie about golf or something like that, but I want to get the story of the movie from him. If he can tell you the story, the plot
anything.
Of that movie, I'd be shocked if he didn't know that it was an Adam Sandler movie about golf.
He is a country guy.
Yeah.
I would be.
So am I.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. KT is a country guy.
KT's from a smaller town. There was somebody in his town that didn't have a front door.
This is like the
still
bet.
Doesn't.
This is like the bet of does Jason Garrett have a bathroom in his office?
Wait, we never settled that.
Who paid off on that?
You were supposed to wear an ostrich costume.
No, I was
and dangle
not.
From a building.
Hey, and
he's
an
supposed
egg.
To wear a wolf costume
yeah, what
or
are
something.
You doing,
right? I'm wearing it right now.
God. It had become too much of a beating to pay off our bets. I'm not going to lie.
All our bets are stupid.
I'm down to wear that.
Okay, so Robert Quinn, how do we get him on?
I'm tweeting him right now.
Somebody tweet Robert Quinn and ask him if he knows anything about Happy Gilmore.
What time is locker room access?
Today?
Yeah.
There's none.
Tomorrow?
Guys, I can't wait till tomorrow to get an answer to this question.
All right, we'll get an answer.
It needs to be resolved right now. Okay, let's get back to more fun here. But before we do it, we need a setup. They obviously, the morning show, they're big fans of Mark Colombo. And so Jerry was asked, clip number 7, what has Colombo meant to this offensive line?
He really will take any person that he's around and create football mentality.
Yeah.
That's not just toughness. That's just an attacking toughness. Toughness can be defended as just being able to take it. Well, that's not enough for Mark. He wants to give it. And, for instance, Lyle Collins has been such a focal point for Mark to use as an illustrator. He calls him the enforcer. But his attitude in there, his giving it out attitude, is something that our offensive line is really benefiting from. And, of course, Zach played the best game, arguably the best game that I've seen him play, and he's played some good ones, but he was just almost perfect the other day. And I'm talking Zach Martin. So, yes, we've got guys out there that are very special, and we've got depth, and we've got young depth on the way. And so all of that is good. That front's a big part of this team.
Okay, so last year there was all this talk, and we still see these stats come back up. Amari Cooper has now played, 14 games with the Dallas Cowboys. We've almost got a full season's worth of stats. And look at what the Cowboys offense has done since Amari Cooper has arrived. If I remember correctly, that is also around the same time they replaced the offensive line coach with Mark Colombo, right?
About the same time, yeah. Because after the bye week, right?
Because remember there was talk about they might replace Linehan.
They waited, but
they did replace the offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we have a tendency to look at one thing and go, well, here's the reason. I think Colombo is a huge impact on this offense turning around as well. And you know a lot about this, man, because you talked to Tyron about this.
Yeah, I talked to quite a few of the Cowboys linemen about this. And I find them to be such a humble, coachable group. It's really crazy. And talking to Tyron in the locker room one day, and we were talking about, who was the old coach? What was that coach's name?
Paul Alexander.
Yeah. Paul Alexander. And he came in, and he was there for a short amount of time, and he wanted to change everything about the way they did what they do. And it's like, why would you go in and say, hey, Dirk, we're going to change the way you shoot your jump shots. Why don't you try it like this? It's like, dude, he's Dirk. The Cowboys offensive line was already regarded as one of the greatest offensive lines in the game. And then this coach comes in there and tries to change their technique. It was asinine. But because they're so coachable, they did it. And I asked Tyron, I'm like, hey, man, why would you say, hey, Babe Ruth, let's change the way you swing a baseball bat? He's like, because this is my coach. He asked me to do it, so I had to do it. I'm like, man, if I was Tyron Smith or one of those guys, I would be like, what in the hell are you talking about? I'm Tyron Smith. I haven't given up a pressure all season. Not a sack, a pressure. Let me do what the hell I do.
Yeah, and Ben, we saw that as, you know, they didn't have a passing game, but we saw the offensive line. Part of it was Travis Frederick was gone too. There was injuries, but we saw that offensive line struggle in a way that we weren't accustomed to in the first half of the season. And then they fired him on October the 29th. I'm pulling up the 2018 schedule.
Okay.
I believe that was right around the time of that Tennessee game.
Absolutely. To me, I think that's after the Tennessee game. That was the bye week.
Yeah, they traded for Cooper. Remember on the first drive, Cooper scored a touchdown on that exact same route that he scored his first touchdown on Sunday. But they still lost the game.
3-5.
They were 3-5. They fired the offensive line coach. So part of it was adding Cooper, and it was huge. Part of it was getting back to the way that they did things with that offensive line, and Mark Colombo should be given a lot of credit for that.
Great point.
Now let's get to the funny part. And that is, remember, Ben, we went and saw him perform. What was that? It was Big Leonard Davis. Mm-hmm. It was Mark Colombo. And it
Corey Proctor, right?
Corey Proctor on drums. And they were called like Death Fart. What was the name of their metal band?
Rain Fire.
Metal
rain,
Fart.
Yeah. Free Rain.
Free Rain Fart. And so anyways, they asked Jerry about being in the Mark Colombo music video, which I've never seen this. Have you guys seen this?
No, he wasn't in it.
Okay.
The question was more about like, have you ever talked to Colombo maybe getting in a video?
Okay, let's hear Jerry's answer.
Well, I don't know that I've sent him my tape. I probably can do some of that some things that he's just heard about. That's a good idea. I think I'll send him over some tape. I'll get it back. I had a high school reunion out at the stadium this weekend, and it was great to see everybody and see a lot of old friends. But I was reminded that one of the girls gave me a picture, and it was when I was in about the ninth grade, and she could put her hand on the top of my head. I was that short. And she was short, this particular girl that was talking to me. And I used to dance, had those blue jeans rolled up past your ankles, and had that look that they had back then. But I was a goober, but I didn't know it.
God, that's so great. Oh, all right. I have so many questions about the Jerry Jones 50th. I guess that would be the 50th high school reunion.
Probably.
Think about it. They had it at the stadium.
It was like, stadium.
Let's not even just kid around about Jerry being the most important guy from his class. If you want Jerry to be at the reunion, you got to come have it at AT&T Stadium.
I bet he flew people in for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he probably... I was talking to my dad about a reunion recently because we had our reunion and like only 10% of the graduating class showed up. And we're at our 30. And I was like, my dad's sitting there farting around with his 50th reunion. And he's like, oh, those numbers go way down. And I'm sitting there thinking, I bet Jerry's probably not from a huge town in Arkansas.
Right.
I can't imagine there's that many left. And I bet he flew everybody in for that.
I flew all 11 of my classmates in. And of course I did.
I was a goober.
Oh, okay, Jerry. But wait. There's the high school reunion at the stadium thing. That was incredible. And then I think what I love about Jerry is you can hear the wheels spin and he's editing himself because he has to be careful with what he says. Mm-hmm. So he's talking and he's like, he may not know all the stuff I can do, like all the gyrating and all the saying. But he catches himself and he goes, things that things I can do. And
what is he going to sell to Columbo that he can do?
What is he going to present?
So great, dude. So awesome. And I think they were playing some of that music from that group earlier.
Bah, 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 bah.
And it's like broken neck, broken neck, broken neck. I'll break your neck. You're broken necked.
Man, I remember we went to watch him. And then one time Leonard Davis just slightly turned his head to one side. I mean, he performed
do much
with so much energy.
I'm Leonard Davis.
We'll get back into that stuff a little bit later. Hellman at 11 o'clock. But coming up next, we got some great college football stuff, including some incredible audio. From what happened after the Texas-Oklahoma State game. You're going to want to hear Gundy. That's next on 105.3 The Fan. We had a lot of fun yesterday with the clip that was going around of the Philadelphia ex-firefighter that was involved in saving children's lives. And as these babies were thrown out the window, he was talking about how he was catching them, unlike Nelson Aguilar. Well, as that was making its way around Twitter and such, Nelson Aguilar weighed in on that. He retweeted the clip and said, thank you for being a hero in the community. Would like to invite you and your family to the home game, to the next home game. Twitter, help me out and get me in touch with him.
Unlike Aguilar.
Pretty great.
Pretty fantastic.
Pretty great.
So he gets him tickets, hooks him up with tickets to a game, handles it the right way. It turns a negative into a positive.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to handle things.
But Aguilar still has a lot of drops coming up. KT, let's get into the college football weekend. There's a lot of great games, a lot of good stuff. Where do you want to take us first?
Let's start with Texas. They beat Oklahoma State 36-30.
Yeah,
Sam Ellinger,
did.
4 touchdown passes. Without Colin Johnson, their number one wide receiver, who was hurt. Really weird situation with about 14 minutes left in that game. And Oklahoma State was trailing by 5, and they tried to do just a real bad fake field goal.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a very good design play. You know?
It was horrible.
And it really, then the Longhorns got it and went and scored because they couldn't be stopped. But Ellinger's good, man. I've been hard on Ellinger. Jeff says I hate him. I don't hate it. I don't hate Sam Ellinger.
He's a perfect college quarterback.
I think Bouchel's more of an NFL prospect than Ellinger is.
Every once in a while, I feel like you have these biases ingrained within your DNA, Kevin. And every once in a while, I feel like you have an anti-University of Texas thing going.
No, I was pulling for him.
No, I understand this, though. It reminds me of the big Sims quarterback debate where one guy looked like a better pro prospect, and then the other guy was just a better college quarterback.
One guy can throw, one guy can Tebow.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Ellinger is, dude, there is any number of great college quarterbacks that were not in any way pro prospects.
Yeah. And I think that's what Ellinger is.
I do think KT likes to stick it to the horns, though. And I think it's because so many Longhorn fans came so hard after you.
Mm. Oh, yeah, no, they're jerks if you say anything realistic about their players.
I know the answer to this.
I mean, but that's every school.
I know the answer to this. I just want it to be yes. Is DuVernay a pro prospect?
I think he is.
God, he's fun.
I think he is.
He is so fun. And here's the other thing. The best player in the Big 12 next year is Sanders. That guy
Sanders
is freaking awesome.
Now, he had two interceptions that were very costly, but he really looks the part,
dude,
man.
No one can tackle him. He's got an incredible arm. He can hum it downfield. And then he's just weaving in and out of. Nobody can bring him down.
They're in good hands.
God, he is good, dude.
The Denton Ryan dude. Now, Ellinger won that game with his arm, though, so I want to give him proper credit. And without his number one wide receiver, mm-hmm. I want to give him proper credit. The thing that I would say, and I guess what I'm kind of doing is transitioning to the TCU-SMU game, which SMU beat TCU, and Gary Patterson's lauded defense couldn't stop anybody, and Shane Bouchel's kind of torching them all game long. I just don't think, and it's very easy to say this, I think if Shane Bouchel had Tom Herman's players and not Charlie Strong's players, that Shane Bouchel might have fared a little better.
But my memory of this, and Ben, you remember this pretty well, my memory is that Herman came in there and said that Ellinger was more his type of quarterback than Bouchel
was. That's exactly what happened. But in terms of pro prospect, slinging it around a little bit, well, then, I think Bouchel's a better pro prospect.
Bouchel's in a great place for that then, because they are throwing it. He's got Dykes as his coach, and they're throwing it all over the place.
But that said, and that's great that they're throwing it in, they're throwing it around. I love that he's having success. But if the rest of the country thought he was a monster, he would have had a better option than SMU.
Well, right? Hold
so
on,
I think
though,
maybe everybody slept
on
him.
I
just
don't know
insist
what
on staying
were.
Close.
I don't. Yeah. I don't. I do know this. I do know, I mean, obviously he's from this area, and when he transferred there, it was Chad Morris was the coach, right?
I don't know if Chad had already left.
Had he? Okay. Then I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, Chad's been in Arkansas. This is Chad's second year at Arkansas.
Yeah, Bouchel had to sit out a
but
year.
He had to sit out a year. Yeah, so it might have been Chad.
Anyways.
He would have left, though, because Arkansas didn't have quarterback, right? Yeah. I just know that, you know, the Shane Bouchel absolutely will, I can't say he absolutely will get drafted. But his plan is to go to the NFL. Like he's, right. He doesn't have to go think, hey, what do I want to do with my life? He's, you know, planning on going to the NFL.
You think he's a legit NFL quarterback?
I do.
That's
not,
great.
Not like starter.
But yeah, but he'll make the league.
I
yeah.
think he'll get drafted.
That's fantastic.
I didn't realize Kyle Allen was in the damn league until a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. dude.
And looked really good.
Yeah.
So interesting game. SMU gets the win. That's a fun story to follow now. And they got now they're 4-0. Now, again... Their schedule's not going to have them play a lot of big teams.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why going to TCU, and I love what they're doing. They're putting Dallas on their uniforms. They're putting Dallas on their helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking over, like, and this is just an idea from Dykes, apparently, was, hey, we're just going to do this branding message where we are Dallas, and we are getting the Dallas prospects. Because I said that was a great thing to do, to go into Fort Worth and do that. It was a great game. It was a fun game. I mean, I didn't care who won, you know, but I just think it's whoever won that game would be 4-0 and kind of rising a little bit. So I think SMU deserves to be in the top 25.
You've seen that SMU logo on their helmet, right?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's basically the municipality, the D. Like, uh-huh. I've seen some Luca stuff like that. Our buddy Adam is working on some stuff like that. It's the D that is three lines that make a capital D something inside
The City of Dallas sign.
It looks really cool. And from a branding standpoint, SMU TCU is Dallas versus Fort Worth.
Now, they had on their jerseys, or maybe in their helmets when they played North Texas, they had a helmet to Dallas and had the Dallas skyline.
How about that?
Kind of in the background. So,
and you went to that game, right?
Because
you're
not,
in North Texas.
Guy
who was 4 feet from your house.
Tore us up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they
got in that butt.
Really gave it to us.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, I do want to play this Mike Gundy thing real quick. We've got the audio here. Mike Gundy, the Oklahoma State head coach. Well, basically, what happened is that basically a reporter wrote an article that was tongue-in-cheek, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the tongue-in-cheek thing is basically, and it was written on a website called whatthefussnews.com, so it's not even real, okay?
I like that site.
But the article joked that T. Boone Pickens, who died earlier this month,
oh dear,
and was a major donor, had left $30 for Mike Gundy to get a haircut. Okay? So it's kind of a funny, like, okay, God, we can have fun, right?
Right.
Well, the guy who wrote the article calls into the Big 12, the Big 12 coaches press conference. So on the teleconference, this guy pops in and asks Mike Gundy a question about it. And Mike Gundy obviously knew the story and was not happy about this.
Coach, I know you were joking around Saturday night. I was there about what you think of social media. But was there any truth to those reports that Boone Pickens kind of was joking around and left you a gift card for a haircut? I'm joking with you, that's all.
Don't hurt the real journalism world. It's jackasses like you that cause problems, okay? They shouldn't even let you call in. You want to talk football? We'll talk football. If you want to be out there and talk idiotic social media, then you need to go do something with a college kid.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
All right, we need to save that whole drop for...
You want to talk football? We'll talk football.
So I had this really weird moment on Saturday night where...
You bet.
I said, honey, look at that human. Can you believe that's his haircut? My wife looked up and she goes, what's wrong with it?
Okay, so mean, Gundy's mullet?
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean what's wrong with it?
How different is it now?
Don't hurt the real journalism world.
It looks, it's creeping more towards like mid-80s Richard Marx hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, I'm seeing it now.
Like, I'm like, honey, there's not another person in the country that has that haircut. It is, what do you mean what's wrong with it? It's shocking. He's making fun of himself, making fun of himself now.
It's Richard Marx. It does look like he's wearing a wig.
Yeah.
It does. It looks like one of those Rambo wigs.
Hey, everybody, let's do an 80s theme party.
Hey, they drew first blood.
It's terrible.
Jackasses like you that cause problems.
Well, I'm sorry.
I checked out the website, whatthefussnews.com, and I think you guys are going to love some of these stories that got posted.
Can we do a new weekly feature?
We might need to. Here's a couple headlines here. Josh Rosen diagnosed with severe Pokemon Go addiction.
Okay.
Lions head coach Matt Patricia promises fans they'll try harder to lose in week 3.
All right. It's kind of like a sports onion.
Jamaican bobsled team discovered to be weighing down the front of their sled with pounds of weed. It's okay.
Did you want to go in there and...
Bank statements reveal Adrian Peterson's massive ill-advised investment in Beanie Babies.
So they're swinging for home runs, but they're going to strike out a
they're
little
gonna
bit.
They're going to strike out a lot, just like anybody who does comedy. Right?
I wouldn't mind canceling that new What the Fuss segment we had talked about earlier.
Okay, it is funny, though, the idea that in his will, that T. Boone Pickens would leave a $30 gift card for Gundy to go chop that mullet off.
God, that's awesome.
Objectively funny,
that's
right?
That's awesome. And, that's dude, funny. It is. I agree with you, Skin. It could be the worst haircut on the planet.
Yeah.
And so he's doing a bit. He's very aware that he has a turbo mullet.
I think so. What is my wife doing? How is she not floored by that?
Yeah.
I can't imagine him walking into a room and every person there like, what the hell is that guy doing? Like, if they didn't know, right? They'd be like, what is that guy doing?
Right.
Did that guy just walk out of a time machine? Did that guy get out of a hot tub time machine?
He's in character. He's shooting a movie about arm wrestling.
He just walks in, though, with a Sport Clips $30 gift card. Just kind of chops it off.
He walks in Sport Clips and they go, I don't know what to do with this.
Sorry, man.
What do you want?
It's like taking a Ferrari to a Ford dealership. They're like, man, I'm sorry, I don't.
Can you please, is it difficult, Shippy, to play that whole exchange again?
No, really, not at all.
Our tools don't work on that car.
Coach, I know you were joking around Saturday night. I was there about what you think of social media, but was there any truth to those reports that Boone Pickens kind of was joking around and left you a gift card for a haircut? I'm joking with you, that's all.
Don't hurt the real journalism world. It's jackasses like you that cause problems, okay? They shouldn't even let you call in. Do you want to talk football? We'll talk football. If you want to be out there and talk idiotic social media, then you need to go do something with a college kid.
I would have.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
I would have liked to follow up on his haircut.
Okay, thank you.
Coach, one quick follow up. What's your haircut strategy?
What are you doing there, Coach?
I don't know why they let you call in. It's pretty good, too.
Yeah, it is great.
And real quick, Austin, A&M loses. They lost to Auburn 28-20. Auburn's 4-0 and ranked 8th in the nation. They'll probably go up a step. A&M Texas covered, A&M right? was 17.
They covered.
No, they were 4-point favorite, I believe.
Oh, they were?
At home, yeah.
Oh, man.
So they lose. They go to 2-2. Man, Kellen Mond was kind of up and down. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a big A&M guy. He goes, you know, you're right about Kellen Mond. He's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
But there, he was also pretty depressed by that loss in a game that they just had to have. Here's their schedule as they are 2-2. They've got Arkansas this week, and then they have Alabama. And they will end the year with Georgia and LSU.
Looking good,
so they're going to be 6-6.
Great to be in that SEC, isn't it?
Missouri finally beat South Carolina.
Oh, my God.
By 20.
Shut up!
Hey, guys, you guys pumped about the big UNT win? You guys UNT guys right here. UNT over UTSA, huge.
I was at the game.
Slow clap.
Man, my head hurts.
Can we get back to Mizzou?
UNT.
Coming up next, Hellman tries to pull it out of the ditch right here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
Wide receiver towards ACL.
Good game.
Rico Bussing.